coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, the 6th day of December, 2023, in the year of our Lord. I want to thank you so much for joining us. I have a great show lined up for you today. A lot of information to get into. By the way, I want to publicly thank Liz Croken for yesterday. I'll tell you what, she was under the gun schedule-wise, both before and after the show. So we kind of caught her in the middle of my goodness, praise God we had her on. And the backstory behind Liz, as you see that yesterday's program, but by the way, if you didn't watch or listen to yesterday's program, and especially about, or especially with Liz, please do so. Because all of this is connected, the Pizzagate, the Epstein situation. And by the way, speaking of Epstein, I will just say this. A reporter confronted Dick Durbin and asked, why haven't you subpoenaed Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs? There is a video on that. Eric the Tech, if you have a chance, the same source that I gave you earlier, it's the next one down. So stand by for that. In the meantime, headlines, for example, like Oh, it's ready? Okay. All right. So, yeah, we'll save the headlines. But check this video out, this confrontation about Epstein's flight logs. And in the context of yesterday, okay, think about that. Go ahead.
Irvin, can I ask you a quick question? Why won't you subpoena Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs?
So who are you?
Hillary Vaughn with Fox.
Fox, of course. I don't know anything about his flight logs.
But why won't you subpoena them? Why don't you want to know?
I don't know the issue. I know who Epstein was, but I certainly don't know anything about the issue.
Well, he was charged with sex trafficking, so why don't you want to know who was utilizing his private plane?
Never been raised by anyone.
Well, Senator Blackburn has wanted to subpoena them, and there hasn't been a vote in your committee.
He said a word to me, not a word.
But aren't you curious, like, what high-profile or powerful people might be closeted predators and pedophiles? Doesn't that concern you?
Of course.
So why won't you subpoena them if you can?
It's the first time anyone has raised it. Thank you, Fox.
So are you curious about it? Will you do it?
Durbin's a liar. Last week, Primetime asked his office.
Durbin is a liar. As a matter of fact, you can put a period there, exclamation point. This is the precise thing that Liz Croken, myself,
almost like he's a part of it.
Do you think? Absolutely, he's a part of it. I mean, seriously. Yes, he is a part of it.
He got the sweats real quick.
And you know, you cannot tell me, all right, that he does not have any knowledge. No one's approached me about it. I don't know. That whole thing was a weasel situation. But you know, when you look, this needs to be done, when the flight logs are authenticated and fully exposed. Now, we do have some flight log information. Of course, you know, Donald Trump did. Look, I'm not making excuses for him. He did take one, I believe it was one flight on Epstein's jet, but it was to get from one or point A to point B. What was his relationship with Epstein? It was, as far as I've been able to research, it was purely professional Now, there are degrees of professional relationships, of course. You know, some are warmer than others. Some are more extensive than others. I would put his probably at the lower end of a of that scale. Okay, as opposed to a Bill or Hillary Clinton, which is completely opposite. But you're right, Eric the Tech Durbin. Look, I'm sure if the logs are examined, you would find either him, one of his major supporters, or somebody, you know, somebody that maybe is funding him. Okay, so watch what is happening with this. The walls are crumbling. And this is what Liz was kind of referencing yesterday with the Seth Rich laptop. And again, WikiLeaks, and folks, you need to understand this. WikiLeaks, the Russian hack, okay, the BS Russian hack, WikiLeaks exposed the BS Russian hack, but it also exposed the pedophilia. I'm sorry for even having to use that word among the professionals and the leaders, the movers, the shakers, so to speak, you know, the people that we're supposed to be looking up to, or those who are in positions of power. So having said that, that was a very telling and very important exchange. As a matter of fact, when history looks back, or when we look back through the lens of history, that will be an exhibit in the trial against these globalist scumbags. Real quick, before we move on, I want you to take a look at this video. Michael Schellenberger, if you don't know who he is, you can research him. He issued a very chilling warning to Western civilization about what's about to go down in Ireland. All right. And we can springboard off of this, as well as a couple of other key headlines, to really outline the events of today. Here's this video.
It sounds like a Black Mirror episode. The police can enter your home unannounced, search your phone and computers, and arrest you for the things that you're reading, watching, or posting online. If you refuse, you could be sentenced to 12 months in prison. But it's not a Black Mirror episode. It's worse than that. It's real life. At this very moment, the government of Ireland is trying to pass a law before Christmas that will let the police go into people's homes and confiscate their phones and computers. Now, you might think Ireland doesn't matter, that it could disappear tomorrow without much impact. But Ireland does matter. It's the test case for the next phase of the global crackdown by military and intelligence forces and their agents that's been happening over the last 7 years. What they used to call a conspiracy theory has now been confirmed as true. Our research has exposed a far-reaching plan by military and intelligence agencies in the United States, Britain, and other nations to subvert the democratic process and engage in activities that have a basis in military techniques and which are tantamount to attempts at thought control. This isn't about censoring the far right. This is about censoring independent journalism. And if you're in Ireland, this is about censoring you. One understandable response to all this is to ignore it and hope it goes away, or wish that it won't affect you. And maybe it won't, but our ancestors fought and died for the right to speak our truths, particularly about controversial cultural and political issues. And already we're fighting back and making progress. The Irish government was forced to back off this law once already, and we can make them back off again. Free thinkers in the United States and around the world must stand up now for Ireland. We have to fight the totalitarians over there so that we don't have to fight them over here. We need to send a message to the politicians and the police that the world stands with the people of Ireland and their first and fundamental right. Please share this message and consider donating to a special free speech fund at censorshipindustrialcomplex.org. If we don't act now, our children and grandchildren will look back at this moment and ask why we didn't do more while we still had a chance. So please get involved now and stop this Black Mirror episode from becoming real life.
All right. Now, I started out talking about yesterday's show with Liz Crokin and talking about the connection with Epstein, the Pizzagate, how that is, that whole narrative now is being exposed. Now you heard Michael Schellenberger talking about what's taking place in Ireland. That's coming. Well, that's already here. But you have to understand, folks, the surveillance is being propelled in part by, yes, humans with an agenda. But there's also one other thing. And again, and I appreciate the two gentlemen with me allowing me this time. And they're going to have free rein. And believe me, they've got a lot to say about this and other matters. I'm going to actually, like I did yesterday or the day before, I think it was Monday, step back a little bit and enjoy their discussion and pop in when I can. But what's propelling this, or I don't want to say propelling this, what is actually, at least in my researched and informed view, what is making this a greater threat, this police state environment and the censorship, is something that we've discussed on this program before, but not to the extent that it needs to be discussed. Before we hit the very, very short video, if you can put up page one, because this is the basis for what I'm talking about. This is a White House executive order that was issued by Joseph Robinette Biden on October 30th of this year. This is an executive order on safe, secure, and trustworthy development and use of artificial intelligence. Folks, this is one of the most hideous and life-threatening, humanity-threatening things on the face of the planet today. Anytime the government says safe and secure, understand it's just the opposite. Trustworthy, not a chance. The use of artificial intelligence. Why did I throw this in there with everything else? This is a very extensive and very far-reaching executive order that many people have not heard about, or they've got no idea what it says. In my final opening here, I'm going to leave the opening and setting the stage for the show, as well as other news, with this brief video by Dan Bongino, who gets it. He's been talking about this. And by the way, we've played videos about this from Greg Reese from Band.video and others. Steve Bannon, Joe Allen has been on the War Room talking about this very issue. Now Dan Bongino gets it, but with a sense of urgency. Please listen to this minute video roughly and understand what he's saying here, because from this point, the discussion can begin. Go ahead and play video three. Show notes, HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
You know Ridley Scott? He's this famous director. Did he do an Aliens movie or something like that?
Sorry.
I don't know.
Is that video three?
Yeah.
Video two. What am I thinking of? The shorter of the two videos. Oh, no. Right. Okay. Video two. I'm sorry. Video two. My mistake.
I'm freaking out over this AI stuff, okay? I'm sorry, but this AI thing's really freaking me out. From both a spiritual component and a technical component. You know, I said to you the other day, do you remember the show, Joe, a couple of days ago where I mentioned, even if the technical component of developing an intelligence that could wipe us out doesn't bother you, does it bother you that the Bible, that hundreds of millions of people around the world believe is the word of God, that the beginning of the Bible starts with a warning to not eat from the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge? Do you remember that segment? Look at this. Peggy Noonan, who I love her writing. I don't agree with her on everything, but her writing's really great. She wrote this piece literally last night in the Wall Street Journal. She's like, I've written a lot about the Apple logo. You know, Apple, with the bite taken out of it. She says, it seemed to me a conscious or unconscious expression that those involved in the development of our modern tech world understood on some level that their efforts were taking us back to Eden, to the pivotal moment where Eve and Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Yes, ma'am. The serpent told Eve they'd become all-knowing, like God, in fact, equal to God. And that's why God didn't want them to have this forbidden knowledge. Well, Eve bit, and human beings were banished from the kindly garden and thrown into the rough, cruel world. I believe those creating, fueling, and funding AI want, possibly unconsciously, to be God and think on some level they are God. Folks, I put this after the COVID story for a reason. If we go down in flames and AI winds up destroying us all, you know who's going to have done it? The same experts who nearly steered us into a global apocalypse with the COVID drama, giving us all the wrong information. There's no one to trust anymore. This AI threat is deadly serious, and I believe that God has given us a warning against it to do this. They are driving us off a cliff. We are never going to be able to climb back up. I'm not the only one who doesn't trust the experts, whether on AI or COVID or anything else. Here's another clip from Joe Rogan where he says the same thing. These freaking experts, we can't trust anyone anymore. Check this out.
Things that I've learned during COVID. This whole trust the experts thing, suck my... Okay, that's nonsense. There's a lot of these people that are foolish and bought and paid for, and I don't trust just the experts anymore. I trust some experts. I trust if I can understand what they're talking about and I know where maybe their conflicts lie, I can see, well, why would they be ignoring certain studies but highlighting others? Oh, there's a conflict of interest. Oh, there's some money involved. Oh, maybe there's a revolving door. Yeah. And they can get into some nice agency or some corporation after they're done with the agency.
Folks, this guy talks to 11 million people a day, man. He's saying the same thing a lot of us are saying. With AI and COVID and white lung syndrome and all this stuff, if we can't trust the government that we're paying to finance that's supposed to be looking out for this stuff, where the hell are we supposed to go? Let me put it up. Where are you going to go?
Okay, you can cut it right there. Folks, the clip, the entire clip is at HagmanPI.com under this episode. All of that said, because much of this is connected, the same actors are in charge of doing the... really destroying humanity by various methods, whether it's the bioweapon or whether it's by, whether it is by poisoning us by way of our food and water supply. That's what's happening today, as well as the international globalist agenda that we're seeing. It's not just domestic, but it's international in scope. So with me, And I will end my opening segment now, but with me, two very important people, Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com, and Kirk Finney, who's an expert in, and I use that word not in a legal sense, although I'm sure it could very well apply, but he's an expert in water filtration. And the reason I asked him to come on to talk about the current events of the day, I know he's on weekly, I believe weekly with John Moore, but I asked him to come on and join Randy and myself to have a roundtable discussion about current events that includes what his specialty is. And that is making sure what goes into our body, water, the most important thing that we can ever intake, is proper, okay, is the best that we can get. So that's why he's here, as well as to discuss current events, the way things are shaping up, and how we can live another day to fight the fight we need to fight that we showed you yesterday. The children depend upon us, our children depend upon us, as well as our future, the future generations. So with that, Randy Taylor, welcome again this week. And Kirk Finney, welcome back. It is so great to have both of you with me. I appreciate you both.
Come on, brother.
Hey. Thank you.
Yeah, Kirk and Randy, I hope I didn't take too long, but you see where I'm going with all of this stuff, guys?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
And yes, Kirk is definitely the water expert. I've learned more from him in the short period of time I've known him. I never gave water a whole lot of thought. I don't drink city water. I won't do that. But listen to this guy, okay?
Well, because you live in Flint, Michigan, I wouldn't either.
That's true. The brown water never worked for me.
Right.
But, well, listen to this guy when he talks about water.
and I wanted to do something special, too, for our supporters. You know, we had a supporters meeting on Sunday. And folks, please sign up to become a supporter of the program. That's how we survive. The phrase structured water came up. I had never heard of that term before or that phrase before. And just a wonderful, wonderful lady was explaining it to me, explained it to us. Randy, I mean, did you hear of that? Did you ever hear of that?
I had never heard of it. And when she started talking about it, it was the first I'd heard of it.
Well, subsequent to that meeting, I received probably a half a dozen, well, maybe five, not six, but five emails saying, hey, can you give us more information about structured water, you know. So I figured, why not? So, you know, let's bring the water expert on to talk about that as well as anything else. So, again, I appreciate you both being here. So we've got a lot to talk about. Where do you want to start, Kirk? Where do you want to start?
There you go.
Well, you know, there's so many interesting conversations, you know, going on right now about things that are technology based, like artificial intelligence. You know, I think that the deck from the very beginning was stacked against all of us. I think that all of this technological development that we've seen in the last 20, 25 years is a result of heavy government funding and intervention. And many of these people that we see that run these companies are really just, you know, what I call cutouts. I mean, they're stand-in people. I'm sure they're well-versed on, you know, on their business, but it's not designed to make our lives more convenient. That I can assure you. And at least that's what, you know, what my feeling tells me. I don't know if the audience agrees, but we have to be very careful at this point because everything that we're used to using, I think those tables are about to be turned against us. And I think the artificial intelligence is a big part of it because once that gets developed in the next stage here that they're working on aggressively and they claim within a couple of years, they'll have it. Some think they have it now. When that standalone thinking and you know reaction becomes mechanical enough, we're going to see a problem, you know, with law enforcement, with the military, with things that happen that no longer require a human being to pass judgment based on their, you know, philosophy. You're just going to see mechanical interaction. I'm very frightened of that. And at the same time, it's very difficult for any of us to exist at this point without that technology. So it leaves us kind of in a quagmire. You know, what say you, Randy? I mean, you must have thinking on this too, I'm sure.
I'm thinking the same thing because at least when a human's deciding things, there's emotion and there's intellect. And fortunately, emotion eats up a lot of your decision-making process. When you get into AI, it's going to be pure logic, computer logic. So, like Kirk just said, for instance, with the police, they got a gun drawn on somebody, where a cop's gut may be saying, look, this is going to be, we're going to be okay here. We're not going to have to shoot this guy. Logic. You know, he drew a weapon, shoot, boom, done. You know, it's going to be short and sweet, but not sweet. To get my meaning. The human, the emotion that God blessed us with, and that intellect, you know, emotion overrides intellect a lot of times, and thank God for it. Gut instinct. When I talk about emotion, there's a lot of things that make that up, and AI, it scares me. Just watching the Terminator when you were a kid, you know, letting your mind wander a little bit. That was a scary prospect.
It wasn't supposed to be an instruction manual, Kirk. I mean, and you know, Man, yeah, you're exactly right. But you mentioned logic. I think that to me, and Kirk, I want to bounce this off of you. I'm a spiritual guy. Dan Bongino said virtually the same thing. I believe that we are fighting the demonic. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've been fighting the demonic, you know, for 6,000 plus years. I mean, no question about it. That's the playing field. That's the game that we're all part of. And, you know, the biggest thing that the enemy can do is make us believe that that doesn't exist, which, of course, they've been very successful doing. And I think that, you know, and the other thing, too, a lot of the churches, you know, as Clay mentioned, they're stacked against us because, you know, they're fed information and a storyline, you know, and a script that they have to follow in order to maintain their statuses, you know, they're tax exempt and other things. And it's a scary proposition because if somebody doesn't do outside reading and outside research, how easy can they get swept up in this tide, you know, of the news, you know, of the narrative? And that's kind of what, you know, Alex has been saying now for 25 years. It's an info war. We're living on a prison planet, right? Well, if you extrapolate that out and you start doing your own research, my guess is that if you're spiritually inclined, what you're going to find is that many of the foundations, even science foundations, maybe especially science foundations that we've been taught that many of us believe in are simply just not true. And they're designed to draw people away from Yahweh as opposed to the other God and Jesus. And what that's all about. And, you know, because we're taught, we say, look, you know, was it, who was the Russian chairman, during the first space launch? Was it Brezhnev? Was it, which one was it? Yeah. I can't remember, Khrushchev, maybe Khrushchev.
Thank you.
One of them said, hey, our astronaut's been up there and there is no God to be seen, you know, and how effective is that? I mean, we're all told a certain story. And we believe in certain physical tenets that it turns out, and many of us are waking up to the fact, people that I thought never would, people that have a story based on the other pathway are waking up to the fact that maybe what we're participating in is scientism and not science. Maybe it's a religion in of itself. Maybe the early founders of what we believe to be science were simply just following a narrative that they were given, with the end result being, let's draw these people away from God. And I think that's kind of where we find ourselves. So there's a research process that has to begin in order to create the kind of movement that we need to create. And it's one that only you can do yourself. And so I would encourage you to do that. I got involved kind of with this with water, you know, some 17, 18 years ago. You know, I grew up on Long Island. My dad was a dentist. We believed that the water on Long Island was the best in the world. Certainly it was in New York City. That's why all the great baking goods, you know, come out of Brooklyn. It's the water. The fluoride is important, you know, to protect your teeth. This whole story. And then we come to find out, wait a minute, some of these chemicals that they're using to disinfect the water, which do a great job of doing that, they kill bacteria, but maybe they kill us too over time and distance. And maybe the fluoride is not great, you know, for the teeth, and maybe there's other things that happen with that, you know, in the body. So, you know, the first stage of kind of how I got concerned with water was all about filtration. Many of us had. And then we find out that there's a lot more to that than just filtration. There is, in fact, a structure of how those molecular clustered or bonded together in the water and how that actually makes a difference, you know, in our bodies. And how when we drink the bulk water, you know, from the municipality or from a even our own well, if it's got, you know, agricultural runoff toxins in it, which most do, some areas more than others. I live in prime tobacco growing country here in North Carolina. So believe me when I tell you, we got plenty of toxins in the water. And so it's important to deal with those toxins. But the other thing is, you know, what's the energy factor of that water and what's the lack of it? Because if we don't pay attention to that, we're going to be driven by the energy factor of what we're drinking. And for a lot of us, you know, that might be Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, Gatorade, other so-called sports beverages, you know, promoted healthy beverages that in fact may not be good, maybe not because of their ingredients, but because of how that material was handled. There's a whole lot of elements that come into it. And that's really what prompted us to get into this industry back in 2007. Am I right? Yeah, I think 2006. Well, I got to drink more water.
You know a hell of a lot about water, I'll tell you that. And here's my concern, okay? Just to be honest with everyone out there, and look, I know as an investigator, when people say that, be very wary of what comes next. But you know, the meeting that we had on Sunday kind of woke me up a little bit, or jarred me, I guess, nudged me. And here's the thing. I'm looking at, I talked to physicians, a couple, three, on a routine basis. And they're saying, look, we've got to mitigate the damage to our bodies that these leaders, if you will, are purposely causing. So one of the ways, and this is why I love the meetings that we do have, one of the ways that we can protect ourselves and to live to fight another day, but even thrive to fight another day, one of the solutions is what you've got, okay? And your expertise in the water, in water systems. I'm convinced I've lost a couple of family members because of toxins in water. I'm just going to leave it right there. But so I think what you do is so important. And especially, and here's the thing, folks. Kirk Finney's not just a water expert. He pays attention to everything that is going on today. And if he can help all of us, then that's why he can help all of us, which is why he's here. Randy, I mean, your thoughts on that? Because you and I spoke about this.
Well, the thing with water, too, is I've always drank water to cleanse my body, get things out. I was told early when I had diabetes, drink lots of water. I was drinking so much water that when they ran a blood test on me, the doctor actually called me and she told me, back off on the water drinking, because one number had gone really high. And she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. But I drink a ton of water. So when I first started talking with Kirk, a couple of things jumped out at me, which I think we really need to pay attention to. Kurt mentioned in a previous conversation, last time he was on the show, I believe, that your body only absorbs good water. Water, good water, proper water. And I hope you touch on that again today. It's very important to me because everybody here in the radio audience knows my health is not the greatest. So we do not drink city water. We make a special trip to a store. And they do reverse osmosis water there. We've been drinking that for years. We love it. I don't even give my dog city water. I'll be honest with you. Our dog drinks the same water we do.
And speaking about that, I don't mean to overtalk you, Randy, or interrupt you, but Kirk, and ladies and gentlemen, y'all know how much I really, really love my dog, Lady, the studio dog. I mean, she's with me really all the time. She was diagnosed with Cushing's syndrome or Cushing's disease genetically. And one of the questions, and Kirk, maybe you can help me with this. One of the questions that the specialist now, because, I will take her to any place on the planet if they can, you know, extend her life. But one of the questions the veterinarian asked is, what kind of water is she drinking? Is she drinking tap water, city water? And I said, oh, no. She gets filtered water. And then he said, what kind of filter? And you know, I told him, and I thought, and I'm thinking, wow, he's really kind of dwelling on this. So there must obviously, both pets, the people important to us, as well as ourselves. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk, I mean, any thoughts on this? I mean, I just...
I think that I don't know the exact count, but we've got about 30 animals or 35 animals on the farm, including, you know, seven dogs, seven cats, other assorted critters, you know, just, you know, birds that come. My wife is incredible with bird feeders. We must have, I don't know, 35 or 40 hummingbird feeders throughout the property and other feeders that get put up in front of the house. And, you know, the birds and the deer, you know, come and feed off of those. And so they're all drawn, you know, to the best water they can get to. I mean, we've had countless clients over the years tell us that when they put the water from our equipment down against tap water or other water, the animals prefer, you know, to go to our energized structured water. And I think you're going to see this, and this is mentioned a lot in many different books. You know, they have an innate sense, animals do. And the other thing too, a lot of people, you know, might not be drinking water right now. Some people don't like water, especially if they only have access to city water on tap. And so they wind up drinking other things and or bottled water, you know, they get from the store. There's a whole litany of issues involved with that bottled water. But I think when people start drinking the water that our equipment produces, I think they'll be able to feel the difference. Hundreds of our doctors do, including their patients, and have for, you know, going on 15, 16, 17 years. It's been a long time. And I just think it's something that once you try it, you're never going to want to go back. We don't do any marketing or any advertising. We've spoken on a weekly show, you know, in alternative media for a few years now, and that's gotten us quite a few clients. But that's really been the only marketing that we've done. Everything else is by referral. And I think that if you try it, you're going to see a big difference. I also think that because we find ourselves at this particular time and place, you know, the water in the body is what's in charge of running our emotions. How that water is configured, how those molecular clusters are put together. The brain is virtually all water. Any doctor will tell you when they do these different readings with X-ray, what they're looking at is they're looking at the water. It's an ambiotic, you know, type of a thing. We basically are water. I mean, we've heard 70 to 80%, you know, according to body weight. Well, guess what? The water molecule is so tiny that we're actually over 99% in molecular count water. So we are, for all intents and purposes, aqueous beings. So the type of water that we take in has a big effect, because if we drink water that's undesirable for the body has to work on it and doctor it in order to make it work. And it's just taking energy away from other areas, where anyone that's been, you know, camping in naturalist areas knows that, you know, nothing tastes as good, nothing as refreshing as fresh mountain stream water. And that was the profile that we used to try to create our water technology back over 15 years ago. And I think we've done a pretty good job of doing it. We don't make health claims, despite the fact that we have many doctor referrals. You know, our motto is try our water, see how you like it, and then you'll know, you know, how it is for you. And if you want to share it with family and friends, you know, that's great. And that's kind of been our tack, you know, and equipment development. And we've got more different types of energized water equipment than any other company that I'm aware of. And we make our products affordable because we do, you know, 99% of the assembly ourselves, and we pass that savings along. So if you're comparing, you know, our water products to stuff you can buy like at Home Depot and Lowe's, you're not going to get a comparison. But when you start looking at other energized water, alkaline water, hydrogen water, structured water, you start looking at that kind of equipment that produces that profile in the water, you're going to find that we really are the best value out there. And then our customer service, I mean, I can't tell you, we have so many people call us on a weekly basis for advice, not just about our products, but about other mechanical things in their house, because we've been doing that for so long and we love those discussions. So if we can help, give us a, is it okay if I give out my office number?
Website, office number, yeah. If we get that on the screen, it'd be great.
All right. Well, it's area code 336-525-1015.
Okay.
That's how you can reach us. And we're available often on weekends, too, because a lot of people wind up, you know, we support DIY. We support self-installation. We encourage people to install, you know, with a professional. But the law in every state says if you want to put it in yourself, you can, as long as you follow the regulations. And we can help you do that. So give us a shout.
And the important thing here is, you heard the gentleman say, they put these machines together. He's not a distributor for some other company. He puts this together. These are his products. Okay. That's why when you call on that line, you got questions. He can answer your questions because he built the thing. Okay. He doesn't have to refer you to some service department in the Philippines. Okay. That's, you're not going to call 1-800 and somebody gets on the line and doesn't speak English. Okay. Just that in itself makes this attractive. Not to mention the just the great things. What you're putting in your body is so important. Think about all over the years with the preservatives and everything that these companies and all have been putting in the food. Think of all the things we've ingested that are hurting us, that are killing us.
Yeah.
It's very important.
And here's one thing here, because I want to get this kind of out of the way. And folks, don't look at this. This is not an infomercial. This is something that, how could I explain this? Had my vet not raised some questions about what my dog was, what kind of water she was drinking and such. And if I stored the water in plastic, because I would take her with me everywhere. And I said, oh, you know, I have a bottle of water for her. Anyway, had that not happened, I would not be aware of, folks, the benefits to you and to me and to your loved ones and even your pets, that Kirk has. So, Kirk is really a member of the Hagmann Report family, Hagmann PI family. Having said that, I had asked him if he would please provide some incentives, some break for the Hagmann Report listeners and viewers. Can you address what you have, especially around Christmas here? Christmas is what? I don't know. Less than, it's 19 days away. If you're listening to this, folks, and you want to take care of your family and yourself, this is a great way to do it. Kirk, what do you have to offer our viewers and listeners? I didn't offend you by asking that, did I?
No, not at all. Okay. So I think there's a slide, perhaps, that we provided. Maybe if Eric could show that.
Okay.
Yeah. There and so that's what you'll see when you click on the banner link at HagmannPI.com. And basically, there's several different offers. The first thing I want to mention, and you're going to have to call us to get this first one, because there isn't any way we can program it in with the other discounts, because we're just not at that adept yet with the computer. We'll figure that out, but right now we can't. So we've got these special package discounts. I'll talk about those next. But we've got, you know, for Christmas, we've got a 15% discount across the board on everything in our store. The only exception to that is our Simple Pump, which is our stainless steel emergency deep well pump system, which is the one thing we sell that we don't manufacture. I mean, there's a few parts and things, of course, but that's the one product that we sell that we don't actually make ourselves. So we give a 5% discount on that. It's called Simple Pump. It is the best, you know, non-electric solution to the power going out and still being able to pump water from the deep. I mean, my well is over 200 feet deep. Many folks have it even deeper. I think this device goes up to 325 feet in depth. And the thing that makes the Simple Pump different is it actually pumps into pressure. So you can pump it into a pressure vessel, like a well tank, for example, and then have that water, you know, run into the house just like it does now, except after you take your light shower and pump the toilet a few times, you're going to have to go out and, you know, and pump again. But it's a lot better than trying to carry buckets of water, you know, into the house. So it's a great system. And I had occasion to use it actually last year when we had a power failure. But I'll tell you what. 15% off the store. That's number one. But you have to call, because there's no way to activate it on the website, because we've got even more substantial discounts with these packages. The first is what we call our Hagmann Holiday Extravaganza. And what that is that's our whole house filter now combined with our structuring water Helix Energizer, all in one unit package that's very simple to install. and it comes with the solid brass quick connect fittings, so it can be plumbed into either PEX, copper, or CPVC. And if you've got the PVC 40, like some of our friends down south do, we can set it up that way as well. So that's a great system. It's called the Dyna Energizer. Nothing else like it on the market. You got top shelf, you know, filtration, plus that structuring water from our Helix Energizer device, all in one unit. And when you buy that during this sale, you're going to save $200 on it. I'm sorry, $300, and also get a free under counter alkaline antioxidant drinking water system. It's our economy model. We call it Mod Water. So that's available with that package for free. So $300 off plus $447 in free bonuses. That is the steal of the century. There's a couple of folks. Doug, you have a friend in Erie that called me. I can't think of his first name, John. There you go. And John is looking at this. So, John, I'm glad you waited, but now is the time because you get the whole, you know, the whole megalo with this package. So let's take a look, if we could, Eric, at the ReadyPure, which is the emergency water filter. And that's on sale, too. You can save $100. Now, I think this is the best on the market, and there's a lot of great ones out there. And, you know, the differences between them might be small. I like this unit because it has a very, very high grade of filtration. The ceramic cartridge that we had commissioned way back when and have made some improvements to actually, I believe, reduces the water down way beyond some of these others. And the way that I know that is it can take about 4 hours after the system is primed for those 2 gallons to work their way into the bottom compartment. And that means you're getting maximum filtration. You know, the greater the filtration, the smaller the orifice, the slower it's going to take to run that water through without a pump or electricity. So the ReadyPure is a great device, and it has a solid steel billet spout on it, which is going to outlive generations.
And this is a portable device, right?
It is. The main unit is very strong, but that solid stainless steel billet spout is something you'd find on a yacht. I mean, it is incredible. And that's the weak point, you know, in most of those builds. That's already pure. That's on sale. And guess what? We've got the antioxidant lower cartridges with our energizing media that you can also use with that device. And we're the only company out there that has that. And then also, and that's save $100 on that. And then we've got the Mod Water, which is our under-counter drinking waters. I call it our economy solution. We make a lot of different types of drinking water products. And as the filtration quotient moves up from, say, 75 to 99, you pay a whole lot more money for that technology, and the devices get a lot larger. And we have people in suspect areas deep in the city, or, you know, they've got a dairy farm across the street and they have a well, which presents problems, as many may know. So there's other devices. You know, the Alka Purity line is our best, but it starts at $1,095, but you've got that 15% discount if you take advantage of that now, and it kind of goes up from there. But this Mod Water is a great place to start. You're down to $347 with the Hagman discount. I mean, that's an and it's a quick connect setup. So you can install this directly into the cold water plumbing line under your sink and not have to install a second faucet, which is a delight for many of the people that have done a recent kitchen upgrade. They've got this beautiful monolithic, you know, looks like it belongs to a dishwasher in a restaurant. You know, they got this, you know, $12,000 granite countertop situation, and they don't want to lose that look with a dinky second faucet. So for those folks, Mod Water is great. If you want the second faucet, it's available also at a discount, and you can add that into your cart. And that way, then, of course, the filters will last a little bit longer because maybe you're just using that for drinking and cooking. If you hook it up direct, then you're using it also for washing dishes, but it makes the dishes wash easier with less soap. And it's the best water I've ever seen for cleaning vegetables. And the reason is it's just super hydrating. You know, the dyne reading of this water is less than it would be from tap water, bottled water, and way less than it would be from purified water. So it uptakes into the body a lot more easily. And it creates that situation where the body has to, I believe, do less work to process and use it. And again, this is what many of our doctors that have recommended this for well over a decade, you know, have seen. Not only do they dispense the water from their practice in cases where that's allowed, but they also typically have our systems in their home and not just drinking water. I mean, they have our whole house equipment. A lot of them have our conditioner, you know, again, for those that need it. So we've got a lot of things to offer. The 15% discount is an incredible savings. You know, check it out. Give us a call. I'll repeat the number one more time. It's 336-525-1015. And now I'd like to stop talking about water and let's talk about the artificial intelligence if we can again, because I think that's such a huge issue. If you guys all agree.
No, it's cool. We're glad you explained that. There are so many questions in this particular market about drinking water. That is time well spent, Kurt. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Definitely.
And don't forget to buy your tickets to the next Clay Clark event out in Fresno. Timeforfreedom.com? Is that right?
I can't remember.
But anyway, if you search Clay Clark, you'll find it, you know, obviously online. Those events are great. We went to one with John about a year and a half ago in Myrtle Beach. And the venue didn't do such a great job, but the speakers were phenomenal.
Well, actually,
that's another story.
And folks, you're going to hear this for the first time. Eric and I are attempting, and we're not 100% because it's less than 10 days away, but we're attempting to actually be there, okay, in California. And the reason, of course, is to meet with Eric Trump, to meet with some other people, including General Flynn, as well as celebrities like Roseanne Barr, who, despite what you might think, has connections aside from Hollywood into DC. So, I'm just tossing that out there, folks. You might be hearing from us from California if we can swing it. I'm not sure if we can. So, thank you for plugging that, and thank you, Kirk, about the water. We're going to be mentioning it more, but thank you for the sale for our listeners and the people out there in general. And thank you for what you do, because, look, we've got to protect ourselves. So I appreciate that. But as far as AI is concerned, which is really kind of the theme of this show, let me ask you, Kirk, because I know RT, he's up on things. But, Kirk, did you know about this executive order about the AI?
Not specifically about that executive order. I knew it was coming because my belief it was designed to be, you know, 30 years ago. I mean, they're playing out a script, and this is absolutely part of it. It's a frightening thing. You know, I think certainly the White House is probably putting it off as, hey, you know, we have to give more concern to this because of the safety issues, which I seem to see in that first page that you showed. All of that, of course, is a farce. You know, I wonder what other items are attached to that order.
Oh, man. I'll tell
which
you.
I'm sure there's a ton of them, right? Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, that's the longest executive order I think I've read. I'm not sure how many pages it is printed. I have it printed here somewhere. But when you look into this, we're looking at, as Dan Bongino says, as John Allen or Joe Allen had previously said, and others, you are looking at the possibility of a demonic infestation into the computer, the internet, and all of this. And essentially the objective here by the creators of this is to destroy humanity. And, again, just because you can doesn't mean you should with anything, so, folks, I would urge you to go to HagmanPI.com and download this executive order and read it carefully, because you're looking at something that could really cause us not just harm, but it could be, well, there it is right there, a substantial. Well,
even from an ideological standpoint, there was a rumor floating around, and it probably was just a rumor. I don't know who that religious guy is that's in the World Economic Forum.
Yuval Noah Harari.
Thanks for saying that. I can't stand a little puke.
That guy's terrible.
But somebody was saying that he, in private conversations, had said that his goal, He'd like to see AI rewrite the Bible to make it correct.
And good luck with that.
The second that came out, I right through the ceiling, you know. I don't know if you folks know who he is, but guys like Kirk, myself, and Doug, if we met him, we just want to take and beat his head against the wall. You know, he's very annoying, and he's with these nut jobs. AI is dangerous. It just stop and think of the implications of what AI can do. I had a guy, everybody's always trying to guess who the beast is or what the beast is. All right, you got your Antichrist, you got the beast. And a guy I knew, and I respected him, but ideologically I wasn't too sure about him. But he said he thought that something like Google would be like the beast because it would disagree with God and God's word, and people would actually believe it. Because people would believe Google before they believe the word of God. Now let's stop and think about the danger in that. Look, there you go.
Yeah, I think the beast is definitely in partnership with the D-wave computing that we're going to see, that Dr. Ted talks about all the time. And
something.
I think we're going to see, I mean, we're seeing it now. And, you know, what we do about it,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kurt.
No, I'm just not sure what we can do at this point because it's so entrenched. I mean, you know, love to have everybody disconnect, you know, all their cable and fiber and shut off the cell phone and, you know, go back to, you know, the walkie-talkie or whatever. I just don't think that's a practical solution. So we better find a way to get the proper influence into the decision-making process, or we're going to find ourselves quickly at the point of no return.
We don't want our destinies written by some snot-nosed kid, you know, out in the computer world in California. Because it takes people have to build the artificial intelligence. They have to program the artificial intelligence. And then it takes over from there. So my biggest concern is, like Curtis said, I'm worried about the information initially going in, because that's going to get modified and whatever it's going to do to that information. It's dangerous. This is very dangerous. When you take the human element out of it, it's dangerous. It's like, I remember when I first found out that airplanes could fly on remote control, autopilot. And
I remember that.
You remember it. Usually it's in the middle of a flight that you find this valuable information. And you're going, and then, you know, you see the pilot getting up and walking. And you're going, who's flying the plane, pal? You know? I mean, that kind of stuff concerns people like me. I'm sure it concerns anyone. But that right there is an example of AI. It's a primitive example, but in an aircraft, it would be a very complex example. But these are the type of things. I don't want the human part taken out. I'm against that. Especially think about governmental decisions. Think about when the cop shows up at your door, the robot shows up at your door.
You know what, gentlemen, on the screen right there, Jonathan Kahn has been on the show, and we've talked off air, and he expressed, I'm telling you, he's expressed his very concerns. And if you look at this headline here, World Economic Forum officially calls for AI to rewrite the Bible correctly.
So it wasn't just a rumor then.
Oh, no, no.
I had no idea there were all these hits on it. I kind of chucked it to the rumor mill because I couldn't substantiate it at the time. As with anything, if I can't boldly see the sourcing, you know, I set it over here and keep going back to it. And generally on the show, if it's a rumor, I think it's a rumor, I'll say this is where it sits with me at this point. But now you got people know what they're talking about.
Well, back that up. And gentlemen, on September 23rd, Conservative Treehouse published an article, Sundance did, and he's well connected in the into intelligence and the IC. The headline is Major Tripwire. Homeland Security publishes guidance for using AI as a tool for surveillance, monitoring, and tracking of American citizens. And the article is, and I can put it in the show notes again for today, but the article is quite interesting. This goes back, you know, into the creation of the current intelligence system that we have that was created after 9/11 by Bush and Cheney. And the domestic part of this. Kirk, are you concerned? I mean, how concerned are you about the surveillance of American citizens and, you know, what we're going through right now, and then the extra boost, the vitamin B shot that is artificial intelligence? Well, what do you think of this right now?
Am I on? Okay. Sorry about that. I thought I was on mute. I think that, you know, it's a big deal. I think obviously we see it all around us. I know that, you know, obviously I constantly get advertisements like we all do on my phone that are geared to me, you know, based on previous searches. You know, we have had occasion to buy things, you know, from Amazon. Obviously, all of that's tracked. You know, all of these things are information intelligence gathering situations. They're not interested in providing us with fast, you know, products that we get in 2 days. They're interested in gathering what our, you know, buying habits are, what we buy, how we buy, when we buy, what those mental triggers are. And then all this stuff is put into a computer and it churns that data. And the computer tells them, hey, this is the next pathway, the next route that you need to take in this area based on this. And the numbers are always working for them. It's like trying to play, you know, one of those games at a casino. You know, it's always stacked, you know, in the favor of the house. And that's how this is. And we keep providing that information. And I don't know that we can get out of it. So the next step is, how do we take our government back and give it to the people? And what methodology do we use to do that? You know, keeping in mind that we're supposed to operate, you know, within a legal framework. And, you know, how do we do that? And who's going to lead that? And how do we gather, you know, more knowledgeable people? Right now, I kind of feel sometimes like with the alternative media, that really what we're doing is we're preaching to the choir. You know, everybody we're talking to kind of knows what we know and sees what's coming. How many of us have got the guts to go out there and actually bring new people, you know, down through the levels of the stadium, you know, from the fans in the stand, you know, down to the players on the sideline and then into the field to actually play the game? And what does it mean, you know, to play the game? Are we distributing literature? Are we driving people into the database so they too can be clocked? I mean, maybe it's time to go back to the paper. You know, we talk about paper ballots, which is going to be a long time coming because it goes against the natural grain of technology advancement. And then there's a lot of people I know that are conservative, that are free thinking, that, you know, believe in personal freedom. And even they say, we can't go back to paper ballots because we need the technology. And so this thing has been so ingrained, you know, can we generate the 4 or 5% in the field? How do we do that? The people that aren't already, you know, with us, and can we do that with paper? Can we distribute paper and stay away from the technology? I think maybe we can. And I think we ought to look at that. You know, I remember meeting with a man, his name was John McManus, back in Long Island 30 some odd years ago, and another fellow, you know, Ed Griffin, who many of you know. And I remember attending some of those events and listening to what they said. And they were big on the paper. You know, they were big on the report that showed, here's how the Congress actually votes. Forget about what they say, you know, in the speech. Here's where the votes are going. And here's how, you know, this guy in Vermont, who's a declared socialist, actually on some issues votes more conservatively minded than somebody in one of the big conservative states. How can that be? So I think the paper distribution might be where we need to go, you know, to really gather the support, because that's what it is. It's all about support. A lot of people with courage in the higher echelons, but they're not going to move until they know that they've got some kind of reasonable backing. And at least I want to believe that. I mean, I want to believe that it's possible. Maybe it's not possible. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe it isn't. I see them on YouTube all the time, you know, do this, do that, you know, move for, you know, something more structured. And I think that I think there's another way, and I think it's to inform, and maybe paper is the way to do it.
You know, Randy, I'm sorry. Right. Before we get too far down the road, what you had said, Kirk, and Randy, too, earlier, Who's going to do something about X, Y, or Z, whatever the situation might be? Interestingly enough, the executive order that we put on the screen, again, folks, please read that and be prepared to be surprised or shaken by that executive order. Joe Allen is one of the key knowledgeable people about artificial intelligence. He was on with Steve Bannon, and he addressed that executive order. And he said, President Trump knows about it, and when he gets back in, he will rescind that executive order. And I've got a video clip here with your permission. It's, I don't know, a couple of minutes, but it gives a little bit of a flavor of the nefarious nature of what that executive order by Biden, it gives a little bit of a taste of what's behind that. Do you mind if we play that video clip?
No. Kirk? Let's do it. That's great.
Okay. All right. This is, I can't remember which video it is.
You Let me bring in Joe Allen. Joe, I got to give a hat tip. By the way, the event on Saturday night was amazing. I was able to sit through a lot of it. It was a little late for me, and I'm an early to bed guy, but I sat through. The audience was incredible. I heard a lot of them are coming to AmFest, the Charlie Kirk Turning Point thing that will be the event and conference that we'll be at for 3 days. And I got to give you a hat tip. Pulling those clips like you did, you realize you changed the direction of American history. By pulling the clips like you did and focusing on what was most important, President Trump was able to see that. And, dude, he threw down a hammer. I don't know if anybody could get a more attaboy than Trump sitting there and saying, yo, I saw what you guys are doing. The first thing I'm going to do in the Oval Office when I get over there is rescind the executive order on artificial intelligence. Suck on that. Your thoughts, Joe Allen.
Steve, I'm not a man of much optimism, but I must say that the idea that at least we have somebody in the White House and in D.C. that's willing to dismantle this fusion of big tech and the U.S. federal government, that's at least talking about free speech in sane terms, it's a spark of optimism. I'll give it that. And I'm glad to have had at least some hand in anything. But I really got to hand it to Trump for just nailing this concept that artificial intelligence is presently and will in the future be weaponized to squash free speech in America.
One of the reasons I want to have you on here, it's deeper, though, than just narrative and free speech. When you read that executive order, as you explain it to people, this is now a control mechanism, not just on speech, but they are making it the center part of every aspect of the government. That's included to them. And they've already done a test with what they call the UK event with MI5 and MI6. This is Orwellian. But they're up in your face about it. I cannot emphasize enough to the audience how powerful Axios is as an information platform in the nation's capital for the conventional wisdom. When they put on these conferences and they have people like Mayorkas and Schmidt up there, they're sending a signal to the elites. This is important. This is what we're doing. This is how we're rolling. And when they laid it out, it's one thing to think it's just about narrative or misinformation. But this is also how to control you in a way of actual control like the CCP does. Joe Allen.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're talking about is the integration of AI into everything from education to medicine to the military. What the EO does is give a rubber stamp of safe and effective in all of those sectors and many more, from finance to agriculture to what we eat, like the entire infrastructure is being suffused with AI for many reasons, but the main one being that techno intoxication backed by venture capital. There is a financial interest to ensure that all of these products are put into every aspect of the digital system, and they're cultivating a sort of narrative that AI is going to be this great savior of humankind. We're going to be more efficient in our economy. We're going to be more excellent in our education. Of course, we're going to be more deadly in the military. The thing that really kills me about the statements that you heard from Mayorkas and Schmidt, and also, honestly, Ina Fried, when Ina Fried is talking about how America used to be a nation that shared facts, but now, but we differed on values, but now we'd even differ on facts. I mean, I'm not trying to be crass, but the fact is that in America, if you don't conform to the pronoun hegemony that's being laid out before us, and you are not willing to basically twist the facts of your own mind in your public declarations, you're subject to firing. You're even subject to lawsuits in some cases. And if they have their way about it, you would be subject to prison time like in the UK. So I think it's very disingenuous to talk about for... Again, I don't want to be too crass, but for a transgender person to talk about how America has decoupled from facts, yeah, we definitely have, but not in the way that Ina Fried is talking about. And second, when you have Mayorkas talking about disinformation, talking about the ideologies of hate that drive terrorism, well, I mean, again, from everything from CRT and trans ideology being taught in schools openly, they've denied that. Now they basically admit it, but they say, no, that's a good thing. You've got obviously the election in the last 3 years of COVID tyranny. And for anyone to act like the government has been some sort of, responsible steward of information to suppress disinformation, it's absolutely absurd. They have been the largest purveyors of disinformation and half the country sick of it. And finally, the one that I think that really bothers me the most is Eric Schmidt talking about safe AI while simultaneously he's pushing for lethal autonomous weapons in the military. He is partnered with companies who are producing these lethal autonomous weapons. He wants to use artificial intelligence to kill human beings. And yet he is the kind of at the forefront of organizing the legislation that's supposed to make it safe and secure and trustworthy. So the hypocrisy and the self-contradiction is completely absurd, not to mention the obvious horror of having a system in which autonomous digital minds are scraping the internet for potential dissidents, for disinformation. And of course, when you have artificial intelligence systems working, it's suffused throughout the military that are, if he has his way, if Schmidt has his way about it, that are able to make the decision to kill without a human in the loop.
Yeah, you can pause it right there. Folks, again, all of these source clips can be found at HagmanPI.com under the show notes for today, including, of course, you can go to HagmanPI.com and click on the link to Kirk Finney's website, Water Revolution, and I highly suggest you do that. But about this AI and what Joe Allen just said, I heard a lot. Well, I heard some overlap between what he was talking about and Kirk, what you were talking about, and then Randy, you can pick it up. But Kirk, what do you think?
I think that, like I said before, I the only way that I can see to control this at this point is to make sure that we have influence, in the powers that be. Can we do that? I mean, that's the big question. How do we do that? Because making our voices known, to our local representative is not going to change the progress of technology that we see moving forward, because so many of the young folks are for it and don't understand the dangers because they've never been through or lived through some of the things that we've seen. I mean, I'm going to be 64. I think we're all about the same age. And, we've seen things and participated in things that have helped to develop the philosophy, that we have at this point. And I know many of the people on the show, listening, share that philosophy. What do we do from here? How do we gather more people into the influence circle so that we can exert that influence, in a peaceful way? And I think that's what we need to focus on, because this stuff is coming. It's probably already here. The rollout is planned. They talk about a banking incident, happening on December 15th, which is what, 9 days away. I'm on higher alert now than I have been in the past. I see things in the news, on Steve's website, on other websites, on mainstream media websites that make me nervous. And you know, this latest executive order is just one of them. And it's very concerning because, you know, already for years they've been shaping the decisions that we make and based on this technology. And now they're going to kick it up to the point where there's going to be maybe no human interaction, or if there is, I'm sorry, human intervention. And if there is, what philosophy are those people going to have? We've seen these things on YouTube where they show the employees at the various high-tech companies and what they do throughout the day, and it is vastly different than what any of us did in the jobs that we've had over the years. I mean, you know, they're spending time in the spa, they're making a shake, they're in their safe space cube, you know, bed or whatever that heck it is. To me, it's just bizarre. We wonder why we're falling behind in production. It's because of the attitude, which stems from the philosophy, and we've got to help control the philosophy at this point. We've got to go back to square one because we've let this thing go. Now, it's happened to some degree under all of our watches, and we've been busy, you know, with many different things, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, we homeschooled all of our children, and still some of them have that bent philosophy at the end of the day because of what they've been exposed to online.
I think I attribute a lot of those to that human desire for instant gratification.
Yes.
That has driven,
yes,
this technology, in my opinion, and that's how they get the masses to say, oh, we like, because of that instant gratification. I mean, it all started, basically, in my opinion, when they put drive-thrus in the restaurants.
What if they're able to influence our thoughts?
Well,
vis-a-vis the water in our body, and do it with frequencies, like Ted says. Mm-hmm. What if that's true? I believe it is. Based on everything I've seen, everything I've read, I think that the water is the emotional matrix in the body, maybe the intellect matrix. It certainly contributes to the communication that we have or that we don't have.
Well, and it's also recalibrating our moral compass. You know, I mean, we used to all have a pretty decent set of morals. Now, you know, trannies are acceptable. Now, the gay stuff being taught in schools and talking to kids about penises is acceptable. Abortion's acceptable. You know what I mean? All along, it's been an attempt to adjust and deviate our moral compass. And that is nothing but heading to disaster. I mean, we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a society because we allowed this to happen. At the same time, I feel the younger generations behind us are driving us because they've said, bring it. You know, yeah, we like this. I want to build a
for the convenience, Randy. But I have to say this before so before it goes out of my head here. I'm reading the book Control Agarchs. I don't know. Seamus Bruner is the author, and it's a fantastic book. And I had taken some notes electronically here, but he's talking about the billionaires. In fact, I think I might have shown the front cover a show or five ago. The billionaires who are part of the most exclusive club in the world, you know, the various organizations, whether it be the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, Committee of 300, whatever it might be.
World Economic Forum.
And especially that. There it is right there. Thank you, Eric the Tech. They want to control every aspect of our lives, and they plan on using AI as the vehicle to do so. And I don't think people are getting this. And Breitbart reported on this a couple of weeks ago. But gentlemen, I'll tell you what. I mean, it seems like artificial intelligence is one of the backbones of or at least a vehicle, a tool that's being used or will be used. It will currently is, but will be increasingly used against us.
Well, one of the smoothest moves by the enemy was that Alexa thing where you put it in your house and talk to it. It turns this on, turns that on. But people don't realize you're just piping information into that thing. That is nothing but a transmitter back to the bad. It's a transmitter to the bad guys.
into the psychological database we go.
You got it.
They brought out the new Xbox 10 years ago, and that was actually mapping, geo-tracking your house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a scary situation,
yes, sir.
We have.
Yes, sir.
And, we have to make sure that that we really increase our knowledge base as to what these new things are, like this AI. I mean, look how far they've come without the full AI. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen when that gets turned on? I mean, can mm-hmm. you imagine not being able to buy or sell or move about freely on our way and do all of these things that we've grown up doing our whole lives because the computer tells us we can't? The car won't start because we're overextended on our social credits because, we sent a derogatory text about Mr. Potato Head, mm-hmm. to one of our cousins last week. I mean, can you imagine? Taxed and fined and, no more returns. It just comes out automatically. You got paid 100, but you're left with 20 because we think you should be.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that movie? You remember that movie, Total Recall?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. There's an example there. They're talking about in the future, the rich will be able to travel. The rest, anybody else is going to have to put on a headset and do a virtual reality to go on vacation.
Exactly.
What?
And that's.
I don't think so. We're not going to let them do it.
They have that now. I mean, it may not be in the greatest technological form, but they have that and have had that for a long time.
We're going to step on these people.
I love that picture that Eric showed a few minutes ago with Gates and those other folks, hanging out, in their bow ties and stuff. And listen, guys, you've had the run of the cocktail party for the last 40 years. Wait till you see the main event. I promise it's not going to be as fun as the weekend on the island.
And they're all hitting expiration dates here when you look at their age. So
I don't know if they
think they're living forever. One thing I wanted to bring up for the very beginning of the show. So Trump got on that plane, Epstein's plane. Let me tell you something. Most of the people that got on that plane that first time had no idea what was going to happen when they landed, what they were going to be presented with as temptations. So if Trump also went to the World Economic Forum, pretty much to hand them their ass. His speech, when he gave it at the World Economic Forum, he told them, we will never, never do this. We will never do that. He was very clear.
Thank you for mentioning that, because a lot of the people who say, well, you support Trump when this or that, and you're a bunch of idiots. He's done a lot that I swear people have forgotten about, including mm-hmm. that.
Yes. When he did that at the World Economic Forum, put a nail in his coffin. That's what he did, because they really turned against him. That's why his whole presidency was a tyranny fueled witch hunt.
And let's not forget the tax threats to the big companies. Mm-hmm. In mid-Central America, you start bringing in this stuff from overseas and we're going to tax the bejeebies out of you, mm-hmm. and you won't be able to do it. And they shut that right down, the car manufacturers and all the rest of it. So he's definitely for the people. Yep. He has kind of a New York brogue way of approaching it, which I can relate
to.
Those of us in the Northeast, we can relate to this because we grew up that way.
I'm tired of politicians.
There's certain things you did. Yeah, certain things you just didn't do, and the way you treat people, and people say, well, you had businesses, you went bankrupt. Yeah, guess what? You try to navigate, in the New York real estate market, building buildings and dealing with all those unions.
I went bankrupt in 2008. My business, sure. I had to shut it down.
Yep.
It wasn't a criminal act.
That's right.
The economy shut off. Doug remembers that. I was in business one day, out of business the next.
Yeah. It's easy to get overextended, and they make it that way. And that way they can trade, worthless credits for, hard goods.
Well, in my case, I was a contractor and I went to do draws and the banks had left.
Right.
They physically were gone.
Yep.
They were financing our jobs.
Yep.
So I'm calling the contractor trying to collect 30 grand. And they're like, ready?
We're gone. Right. Yeah, it's done.
The bank's gone. I'm like, what do you mean the bank's gone? I drive down to the location. This in Florida, Colonial Bank, gone.
I'm with Clay and Doug and you too, Randy. I think Eric Trump is awesome. And Doug, if you guys go out there, make sure and mention to him that you have a new tack for Trump water.
I can see that being put in Mar-a-Lago if it's not already there. I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
Right, right. But I'll tell you what, though. I think he's a great guy, and I love his wife, too.
Oh yeah.
Class act.
But by the way, folks, we only have 5 minutes left. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Kirk Finney, although he's associated, obviously, he's the man behind Water Revolution. If you go to Hagman PI, click on the link, or better yet, for what he's offering the listeners and viewers of this program, give him a phone call. I'm going to give you the number. Are you ready, folks? Here it is. 336-525-1015. And I'll tell you something. There is, on my Christmas list, Kirk, my wife will be calling the officer, you, that number, either, she said sometime this week, but I do suspect it'll be either today or tomorrow, because we are going to be putting that system in our home. And the reason, of course, I'm going to say, goes back to not just our health, but the health of my best friend, my four-legged fur baby. But having said that, in the remaining moments we have, Kirk and then Randy. Kirk, a couple of topics or a couple of issues that you're looking at right now and saying, hey, you know, this concerns me big time. Go ahead, Kirk first.
Well, the biggest thing that concerns me is the multi-gazillion, trillion, quadrillion dollars in debt that we have, you know, in this system that's been designed, you know, to rob us of our assets. And I think that that's the mechanism. You know, you think about this, you know, the traditional warfare, the guns and bombs and stuff. And then you think, hey, all they really have to do is just shut down the financial system. Everything's run on credit. So if they shut down the financial system, everything stops dead in its tracks for whatever period of time that is. We saw what happened with this mini shutdown, right, with the pandemic. We saw how the attitudes of all the younger people changed because they suddenly realized that they could earn more money from not going to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine the psychological mess up that causes in young minds? And, you know, we didn't participate in any of it. I'm sure many folks out there didn't. And I think it's just terrible. And imagine what a real financial shock, and it's got to happen. I mean, it's a math. You can't keep borrowing to pay the debt. I mean, it just makes common sense. And the problem is not just the people. The problem is the state governments and the local governments. They all borrow in some fashion. Right from the Fed.
Yeah.
And every time they do, it comes with mandated controls, which become then legal, right, in the current frame of mind. And then you know where it goes. So
exactly.
And they now have the tool to thin the population the way they want with the artificial intelligence and the robots.
Man,
and
that's what's connected the dots on that. Wow. Randy Taylor.
And down the same track there with the younger generations, we're looking this universal income right in the eye. Okay, and I want you to think about that.
UBI.
Think about these little turds you just heard running around and talking about it and all. You got social media. They think it's great. It is just one huge chunk. As far as I'm concerned, as soon as they said they're going to put a chip in your right hand, I went back to the Bible. It doesn't say in the Bible that you would have the number on your forehead and on your hand. It says the number is in your hand. That's what the Bible says.
In my hand.
Okay, there's that. But I don't think that's the mark of the beast. I do think the digital currency, that chip, sure for banking, but that's going to be what really wrecks everything. That social thing you were talking about, Kurt, the social credit score and all that. I think that little puppy right there is going to be monitoring. That's your life.
No doubt. I agree.
One of the, at least in my view, my experience in speaking with him and getting to know Kirk Finney, one of the brightest minds that we have available to this platform. And I appreciate you, Kirk, and of course, your Water Systems Water Revolution. Again, the phone number 336-525-1015. But you are so well versed on current events. I so appreciate you. And Randy, you, man, you're a national treasure as well, and I appreciate you very much.
Eric, we love you, brother. I loved you the first time I met you.
Love you too. And thanks a lot, Eric, for all you do. Appreciate it.
Eric rocks.
He's the man. Kirk, Randy, thank you so much for being part of today's show. Appreciate you both.
Right on, Doug.
All right. God bless everyone.